Still the old hippie, I see.
He looked up to see her standing over him, dark curls tumbling luxuriantly over fine angular shoulders, even darker eyes fixing him with their slightly quizzical smile. She wore a long black coat over black jeans and high-heeled boots. A colourful knitted scarf was thrown carelessly around her neck. He immediately felt his heart leap and butterflies stir. She had always had that effect on him, and all his resolve to put an end to it immediately dispersed like a dawn mist as the morning breeze gets up.
"Hippie!
Last time we spoke you were talking of cutting off the ponytail. I'm glad you didn't." She sat down and waved to the waiter. "A Perrier," she said when he arrived at the table, then turned to Enzo. "Another of those?"
"No, I won't. I don't have much time."
"Oh." He saw her disappointment immediately. The meeting had been at her suggestion. Roger, she said, had told her he would be in town. Enzo couldn't understand why she maintained contact with the journalist. They had been lovers for 18 months, then broken up in acrimony. She had subsequently made it clear that she disliked him intensely. Yet for some reason they still exchanged calls and met for the occasional drink.
"What's so pressing?"
"I have a train to catch in just under an hour."
"Where are you going?"
"An island off the coast of Brittany. One of Roger's cold cases. Didn't he tell you?"
"No, he didn't."
She seemed put out that he hadn't.
"So how long will you be?"
"I don't know. A week, anyway. Maybe longer."
"Will you come back to Paris afterward?"
"I hadn't been planning to."
He noticed for the first time the dark smudges staining ivory skin beneath saucer eyes, and he wondered if she had lost weight.
"Are you all right?"
Her Perrier arrived, and she took a long, slow sip, bubbles effervescing around her lips.
"I haven't been very well."
But she added quickly,
"Nothing serious."
He reached out a hand to brush tumbling curls from her eyes and held his fingertips to her cheek. He looked at her fondly, filled with concern.
"You need to take better care of yourself."
"How would you know if I did or not? You're never around."
Her rebuke stung him. It was so unfair. He took his hand away quickly, as if he had received an electric shock.
"Your choice, not mine."
He paused.
"Why did you want to meet me today?"
"I need to talk to you, Enzo. There's stuff we have to discuss."
There was a coldness now in her tone. Even as he moved imperceptibly away, he knew that she would pick up his body language, the psychologist's eye detecting all his micro-signes. It annoyed him that he should be so easily read.
"I'm listening."
But she shook her head.
"Not now. Not like this. What I have to say is far too important to squeeze in between a glass of wine and a dash for a train."
She abandoned her Perrier and stood up.
"Let me know when you're in town again, and I'll apply for an audience."
And with a swirl of her coat, she was gone, leaving Enzo to sigh in exasperation and pick up the cheque.